Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I'm your host for this episode, Christian. I am here joined, as always, with...
The Ben Ellis.
That's right. Capital T-H-E. And we actually have the opportunity to have another conversation with Matthew Lead. So thank you, Matthew, for giving us your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me again.
And so I actually texted Matthew the other day and said, hey, man, because of the coronavirus situation, the COVID-19 situation, we have been forced to learn how to communicate online and via Zoom. And because of that, I had actually reached out to Matthew, probably a couple of years ago about doing this, and we just haven't been able to get together. And so anyway, this has finally allowed us to do that. So even as bad as this pandemic is and everything, there are some positive things, you know, fortunately, that are coming out of this. And certainly, this is one of those, even if on a small scale. Anyhow, when I did that, Matthew mentioned, yeah, why don't we talk about worship at home, what that looks like, how we can do that better. So that's what we want to kind of talk about today. To kind of get this conversation started, more of a conversation, more conversational in tone. But Matthew, if you would lead us out here and tell us, what is worship? You know, I think a lot of times, whether folks, even folks inside the church, but certainly outside the church, when you think of that idea of worship, I think that they tend to go to, okay, it's when you're singing inside the church, you know, on a Sunday morning. So tell us, what is worship? What worship really is? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a great question to start off with, especially with the misconceptions that can happen, where the only thing that people tend to run to is that worship is music. And what I like to describe worship as is this phrase of worship is when I put my mind's attention and my heart's affection on God. Now, that translates into kind of like, I like to put it like a wagon wheel, where within that wagon wheel, there's multiple spokes within the wheel that all make that wheel stable. And really, the reality is you can put your mind's attention and your heart's affection on God in so many other areas than just when you're singing. It could be the way that you work at home. It could be the way that you work at your job. It could be the way that you raise your kids, the way that you have a relationship with your wife, the way that you serve a neighbor, or even the way that you work outside in your yard. If you're putting your mind's attention and your heart's affection on God, then that wheel is very stable, and it isn't just music and singing that makes worship an aspect of the Christian faith.
And you know, I think another thing, kind of using that analogy there, is when we are when we're in tune like that, when we are, as you said, placing our mind's attention on God, where that obviously is going to be followed with, if not led with, our heart's affection for God. I think what tends to happen is, because we're more in tune with God, the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and so see that. Instead of rushing in, I just want to get down. I'm going to be more likely to say, hey, you know, hey, friend, hey, neighbor, is there something that I can do for you? Or you pass somebody along the way, or somebody calls you and you're like, I don't want to answer the phone. And I think when we're being led by the Holy Spirit in that way, we're much more likely to ultimately glorify God in these other areas of our life. Just by the very nature that we are ready and filled with the Holy Spirit each and every day. So no, that's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
So I just really enjoyed the wagon wheel analogy. I think that's so good. And the thing is, as you were talking about it too, I was just thinking, man, there are so many of us, to be honest, even myself included, who are driving around with flat tires.
Correct. Yeah.
as we think about worship, because we've kind of focused on that part of worship which we identify with most, whatever that version is, and then not, as you said, balancing out that wagon wheel, so to speak. So as you think about that, Matthew, what are some of the ways you think that people miss most obviously the opportunities for worship?
So I think people do miss, especially with our culture now, they miss the opportunity to gather together. They think that, oh, I could just do this faith on my own. And so they have a tendency to miss the the opportunity they have to gather together for us all to put our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. And so that can create a little bit of a flat wheel where it's important for us to gather together. It's important for us to come together, even in moments like this, just the three of us. It's important for us to have conversations because it is an aspect of worship when we do things like that. So I think they miss that sometimes in the fact that we should come together as a church, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, and right now, you know, for anybody maybe listening down the road, in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, the coronavirus is widespread. Certainly, the state of Florida just is going to be going under a stay-at-home order starting at midnight tonight, and so that's the situation we find ourselves in. There was a pastor in Tampa that was arrested for holding services earlier this week. This is the environment we find ourselves in right now. We're not able to get together, and in real terms, there is a danger of potentially, you know, having some criminal repercussions if we do so. And so, you know, forever, as long as I can remember, we've always had the opportunity to come together. And so, you know, there may have been times when I was younger, I don't really need to go today. I don't want to go today. And like you said, Matthew, that is an opportunity to get together that we are missing. And now we don't have that opportunity, and we're really feeling it in a significant way, you know, unfortunately. And I think all of us are longing for the day when we're going to be able to get back together and worship as one yet again. And so where we want to go here in a moment is we do want to talk about, you know, how we can do worship in the homes. But before we get there, was something else that I wanted us to touch on. And Ben, as you were talking through there, you were mentioning, you know, you asked the question, what are some other ways that we miss worship, miss the opportunity to glorify God in some way? Did you have some other things in mind there?
No, I think that's really just that sort of, Matthew's, I think, has really covered that really well. And that is just between the whole conversation, just the idea that worship is not about what we do, just what we do on a Sunday morning gathering together, but it's really a lifestyle that he's really kind of pointing us towards at the moment. So I think Matthew's done a good job of covering that concept well.
Okay, so the next thing, so even though worship is not only music, certainly that is one of the ways, right, that we do worship. Is through music. And so, Ben, you had a question regarding
I do. One of the things that I think music has done over the course of the years and is really powerful is to teach us. So I think, Matthew, the question that really stems into that is, how does worship, music specifically, but also generally, how does worship teach us and disciple us as believers in Jesus? And how do you think we can do that better, particularly as parents right now, but also as pastors and lay leaders in the church? How can we help worship teach us better, and what does it teach us?
Yeah, that's a great question. Music is a great tool that has been used even since biblical times. To help teach a truth of God, or to help celebrate what God has done. You know, you look at what happens when the Israelites cross the river, right? They celebrated and they sang right after. When David slayed Goliath, when they came back into the city, there was singing and there was dancing. So it does teach us that we should celebrate what God is doing within our life. On the music and even the theology side and the discipleship side, it teaches us some truths of God that we are able to then hold into our heart a little bit easier and better because of the avenue of music. You know, just like when we were in high school, you know, you come up with a jingle or a saying to help remember something to study for a test. Music does the same thing for us, especially within the church. It teaches us the truth of God. And then we may not even really realize the truth of God that we're being taught right there. It's just like reading a passage of scripture that you've read 1,000 times, and you go back and you're like, all of a sudden a light goes off and you recognize something within that passage that you hadn't seen before. Music can do the same thing for us, especially within the church, and especially with songs that are based upon the Word of God, which is a battle to fight as a worship pastor. And the question our team asks all the time is like, is this biblically sound? And if we can say no, then we are not going to sing that song. But most for us, we say yes and we move forward because we want to be singing the truths of God, because we don't necessarily see the full impact of that truth or that theology that is being taught to our church, that they may not see. A song that we've been singing through our church about the last year is the song Highlands, that Hillsong Worship wrote. And what a great opportunity right now that we have as a church. So that is exactly where we're at right now. That God is the God of the valley. He is the God of the mountain. Whatever we walk through, he is still our God. And so whether we're in the highlands or in the lowlands, he is still our God. So that truth has been sung to our church. And I think a lot of our church members are starting to see that truth come through. So there's a lot of power within music that can really teach a theological principle and truth of God. You know, every night I sing to my children before the throne, or there is a fountain. And they may not understand what it is that Jesus is the fountain, but one day in life, they're going to hear that song again for the first time in their salvation experience, and they're going to recognize the truth that has been sung to them. So,
Ben, yeah, music's super important. Actually, Ben and I were at the Jacksonville Pastor earlier this year, and the Gettys were there. And they did a little pre-conference there, and one of the things that they recommend is singing, you know, songs to your children. They've written some hymns of their own, and obviously there's a lot of other hymns and things like that, but doctrinally sound music to your kids, and they recommended doing, you know, like a song a month or something like that, and that way those truths, right, and those songs are kind of just ingrained in your kids, and like you said, over time, you know, that molds and shapes them, in a way that they don't, you know, may not realize right now, and that God is using that, right, for their good. Mm-hmm. So, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, one of the things that they said in there was, or the question that they kind of posed to this room full of pastors and lay leaders, which I thought was such a great question to ask, is what really is the soundtrack of your life? You know, what are the songs that are constantly a part of your heart and a part of your mind? You know, what is that music that kind of permeates your life? And I thought that was a really interesting concept, just from that perspective. Actually, Matthew, that's another question I think we could really kind of dig into you with a little bit, from, especially with your vocational perspective, which is how is it that we think about worship and we think about music that starts us on Sunday morning, but actually carries through the week? Is that something we ought to be aiming for, something we ought to be thinking through as pastors and worship leaders?
Yeah, so that's kind of the beginning of our week, at least in my perspective, is that chance when we gather together in worship, whether it's worship in songs or worship in teaching or worship in, you know, even serving the church and greeting somebody at the door. That's the beginning of our week, and what we know as followers of Jesus is God's going to use circumstances within our week where he's going to remind us of a truth that we've been armed with at that point from the gathering together in worship. There's multiple stories or even instances in my own life where I've been singing through a song, and as I move throughout the rest of the week, whether it's a melody or a tune or a line within a song, I'm like, oh my gosh, that totally applies to this circumstance that's taking place right now. Vertical just came out with the weapon is our weapon is worship, and those kind of things, because like we can really fight back against the darkness, whether it's darkness within our own lives personally or darkness within our culture. We can fight back against that when we approach it in an avenue of worship, and the avenue of worship, remember, being greater than just singing a song, but understanding a truth that we sung to fight against the darkness, whether internally or externally.
Yeah. And I think that folds right back again into something you were just saying earlier, Matthew, which is our music needs to be doctrinally sound.
Right.
Yep. Because we don't want to be building up that background for ourselves on something that's hollow or something that doesn't actually comport with the nature and character of God or in his scripture.
Right. Yeah. And because what it does is when we're seeing the truths of God that line up with scripture, we're actually armed with more than just song. We're armed with the truth of God from the Bible. So, and it makes it stick more to our souls.
Absolutely. Now, So as I mentioned kind of at the beginning of this episode, where we wanted to go with this and where we'll go now is because we are unable to gather together in large groups like we were, you know, which is almost unthinkable, right? It would have been unthinkable. Hey, let's go back 2 months. Yeah. And I don't even think we could have envisioned the situation that we're in right now. And yet here we are. And so as a result, you know, not just full-time vocational ministers, but everybody in the congregation now has to figure out, right, how to better worship at home. Right? Ideally, this is something that is happening week in and week out, right? Practically, I think a lot of times it's easier to say, well, you know, our kids will get taught on Sunday mornings. Our kids will get taught on Wednesday evenings. We'll do our quote unquote worship on Sundays. We'll do our worship on Wednesday, so on and so forth. And so it's more important now than ever, right, to make sure that we are bringing worship home. So what are some of your thoughts on that, Matthew?
Yeah, so what a strange time that we're in, right? Like where our church is gathering, but we're all doing it digitally, sitting within our own homes. Not to let any secrets out of the bag of what we're doing here at Fishhawk, but we've already recorded Easter service. So, and yeah. Easter's not for another 2 weeks. So it's an interesting perspective for us to begin to sit in. Even as this past Sunday, as I sat with my kids with the four-year-old standing on his head half the time, the perspective is totally different. We're still gathering. We're still gathering as a church. We're just doing it now in a really different way. And what it does is it creates opportunities within our homes that we may not have ever had before, especially for those people that are like, maybe it kind of makes them a little uncomfortable within their home. Like, okay, this music is being played to me on the TV. I don't really know what to do with my hands right now. but what it's doing is it's creating an opportunity for the church to get into people's homes that we would have never gotten into before. Because people are at home. They're not sure what to do with their time. They're not sure what to do with their thoughts and their feelings and all these things. And maybe there are even people out there thinking, man, I wish I had gone to church more before this all closed up. I wish I had done this more. And now they're able to have an opportunity to be the church and gather together via the wonders of the internet and joining together. Now, what it does create is it creates an interesting space of, well, what is worship within my home? What am I teaching my kids that worship is? And it comes back to that same thing. Like, I don't want my kids to just know, oh, now it's worship time, so I must sing. Well, no, now it's worship time because we're going to engage as a family in hearing the truths of God and listening to what his word has to speak to us. Now, his word is speaking to us, as we said, through the music and also through the teaching of our lead pastor. And so it opens up conversations within our house of what worship is, and it opens up opportunities for us as a family that we may have never, ever had before to actually sit and worship. And in my perspective, and then I want to get to a different one here in a moment, I don't sit with my family and worship in church. Right. I got things that I have to do. And what's amazing is as I sat there this past Sunday on the couch, what a blessing it is, at least for myself personally, to actually be able to sit here and do and be the church with my kids and worship in a way that I would have never, ever done before. Mm-hmm. Now, the other perspective that happens is we're ignorant to think that there aren't people that are living by themselves, that don't have kids, that don't have maybe a spouse, that are just there by themselves. So what are they supposed to do, right? Well, they too are connecting to the church in a different way, like I said, via the magic of the internet. And they have an opportunity, just like I do sitting with my family, to change the way that they are going to do their life and their weekly patterns. That now they have set aside a time to sit and to hear the word of God through music, through teaching, and to allow themselves to be discipled by the Spirit of God. Because the truth is, when I disciple somebody, it is the Spirit of God working within me to disciple them. Them taking an opportunity and us taking an opportunity, whatever our circumstances, whether it's with a family, whether it's individually by ourselves, to allow God to speak into our lives and disciple us. And we have a greater opportunity we've ever had as the church, and I mean the global church at this point, to reach people and to do things that we've never, ever done before. But we have a responsibility on what to do with that, right? Because I could have just sat there on the couch drinking my coffee and not engaged a single thought in what was happening. I could have been scrolling on my phone, looking at what was happening, which is definitely tempting to do, right? But what an opportunity we have to truly put our mind's attention, our heart's affection on God in that moment. And we as a church and as a society, we kind of need that right now. We kind of need to take time to slow down our life and have an intentional time sitting under the teaching and singing of the Word of God. And so within our home, it's much easier actually now, right? Because you can walk up in your PJs, sit down on the couch, turn on your device, and you don't have to get kids in the car. You don't have to throw them in the places. And so it's a pretty amazing shift that we're seeing. And what's also taking place is, I think when we were returned, so to speak, to gather together, we're going to be all in a better place of, oh my gosh, what a privilege this is to gather as the church and to sing together. And to sanitize our hands together. no more shaking and greeting time. But it'll make us appreciate it more. You know, when something gets removed from our life, when it gets brought back in, we appreciate it so much more. And we appreciate those moments. But then I think there's going to be an element that we're going to have that we're going to miss the connection within our families and our homes. We're going to miss that connection when we do return to normal life. So why not go ahead right now, take the opportunity to establish some habits within our homes that we would have never had the chance to establish before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Go ahead and start those habits right now that you continue even when we're on the other side of this this pandemic, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we have to find each opportunity within our lives to take hold of something. And right now there's a shift happening within our culture that nobody anticipated. Nobody thought this was gonna be a real thing. Even when I saw it coming up, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But now you're seeing the sovereignty of God start to work out in so many different ways, where we are seeing people, at least here at Fishhawk, connect with our church that would have never stepped foot in the door before. And now maybe they will step foot in the door because, like, hey, this is actually, I want to kind of go see this, what's happening there in person once we can get back. So
even at our church, one of the things that we've done is we as the church, we've reached out to members, attenders that maybe we don't do on a regular ongoing basis because we're not able to gather together. And I think kind of the assumption is, well, you have the opportunity to come. If you don't come, you know, that's your choice. But really, we have a responsibility, right, to really be reaching out to these folks all the time, you know, not just during a time of panic, of pandemic, so on and so forth. So, I see it on both sides where this is absolutely an opportunity, and I think we need to see it as such. And I think that's where when we do understand that we serve the Creator God, right, a sovereign God who's in control of everything. Mm-hmm. Here to walk through a time like this, than if we believe, this is bad. Ben, you got something?
Nope, you're good.
Okay. Well, I did want to just go back real quick to something you had said. You were saying the idea that you have the opportunity now to sit there with your children, Matthew, and worship with them. And that's another thing. You know, there are some churches where children, the youth, children come into the main service together, and so they're all worshiping together. That's probably not the majority of churches. You know, most have some kind of a children's church or, you know, youth church, or many do anyhow. And so, you know, this opportunity coming together and having my kids, you know, 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, and my 10-month-old even, right, to come and sit there with me. And like you said, yeah, there's music coming through the TV, but here just singing to the Lord, right, and worshiping in that manner is something that they don't always get to see, right? Yeah, it is special, and I do agree with you. On the other side of this, you know, whenever that may be, I think we are going to look back with some tender kind of memories, fond memories, you know, of the time that we got to experience this. You know, again, not to, you know, and not to make light of this, you know, situation. Obviously, there's a lot of sick individuals. There's a lot of individuals who are dying as a result of this. There's a lot of individuals putting their life on the line each and every day to help individuals and all those things. So it's not a good thing. And I don't want anybody listening to hear me saying that this is a good thing. What I'm saying is that God is in control, and ultimately He will bring good out of.
Yeah, that's at Romans. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. So I was thinking what you were stating about our chance for our churches to connect with our people, and us here at Fishhawk, our pastors we've all taken on different groups of people that we just called that we would never have called before. And what a chance to like actually be a pastor, a shepherd of people by just calling them. And what's amazing, especially during this time, is people want to talk to somebody.
Yes.
And so they answer, and you have these conversations with people that I would have never talked to before. Just to tell them, like, hey, we are here as your shepherds to help you through this time, and we're connecting with people that we would have never connected with before.
Yeah, Ben, you were going to say, I think Romans 8:28, is that what you're?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Is the Romans 8:28? I mean, it really is sort of, and that's the balance right now, right? We recognize that. COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever we want to call it, this is not really a pleasant set of circumstances, but this is at the same time also an opportunity to watch God work out all things together, to work all things together for the good of those who love Him. You know, there's that reality that God is still in the mix and He's still moving. And even though this situation has absolutely tragic circumstances, like you were mentioning, Chris, people are getting sick, people are separated from their families, people are separated from their churches, people are even dying, but in the midst of that, God is still using this moment for the good of His church by expanding our ability to engage with one another, and also by giving us opportunities to reach out with the gospel to people who may not have otherwise have heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, this Jeremiah 29:7 mentality, seek the welfare. Right, where I have placed you, and pray for your city. This is an opportunity for the church to do just that in a way that is magnified beyond even what it would have been previously. We have opportunities, and so I would strongly recommend and advise, you know, any and all churches out there. This is leaders. This is lay folk. Everyone, if you're a Christian, if you're a part of the body, look for ways that you can lean into the situation, help your neighbors, help your, you know, friends, family members, so on and so forth. This is an opportunity for you really to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So definitely look at it that way. Matthew, I want to give you the last word, man. Any other thoughts on this topic?
Yeah. So the last thought I would have is as the music worship guy, give it a try. Stand up in your home. Sing with your kids. The words are there on the screen. It doesn't have to be good. Let your kids and your family and your wife, even if you have no kids or even if it's just you, take an opportunity to do something different and see what God does with that.
Absolutely. Now, Matthew, once again, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us for this episode. And I'm going to ask you again, if you wouldn't mind, to close us in a word of prayer.
Yeah, of course. We'd love to.
Matthew.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, most of all, we thank you that you do give us this word worship, Lord, as a weapon against darknesses in our life, Lord, and that we would take this opportunity now within our culture and the shift that is taking place, Lord, to engage with our families, engage with those around us in a new way, and, Lord, ultimately engage with your Spirit, putting our minds' attention and our heart's affection upon you solely, Lord, in those moments. Lord, help us in the upcoming months, Lord, to be the church and to follow through with shepherding and connecting with people, Lord, that maybe we would have never connected with before in the past, Lord. We thank you and we love you for this time that you've given us. In your name we pray, amen.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.